Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC and an equal housing lender. Today, we're going to talk with Climate Smart Glacier Country Steve Thompson. And they've got some good news, Steve. Up in Whitefish, you got a plan.
We got a plan. That's right, John.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about this plan because it's the Whitefish Climate Action Plan.
Yeah, we've had a committee that's been working on it for about, I think it's been 13, 14 months, appointed by the mayor last January, started in February, so it's been going about 13 months, and it's been a great group. I've been serving as the project manager on it, and it's a big document, I have to say that. So we encourage people to look at it online. It's over 100 pages, and it's available at climatesmartglaciercountry.org, also with the City of Whitefish Public Works webpage.
Sounds like an ebook, not a.
Yeah. You know, we're working on the executive summary. You know, you can't do the executive summary until you do the full plan.
Oh, sure.
And so people say, well, where's the, where's the short version of this?
Okay, the abridged version, yeah.
The mayor said, authorizes you or empowers you to do this plan. You guys have put the plan together. Now, will it be adopted, or is there another step, or is it binding already?
Well, it is. It is subject to council approval. So there's going to be a public hearing. They're going to have a work session on April 2nd. They're going to ask questions, and they've got some policy decisions that they need to make. And,
okay.
Ultimately, they have the final say, and they're going to have a public hearing. We're hoping that they will approve it on April 16th. Because we got a big celebration planned for Earth Day, over at the new Center for Sustainability and Entrepreneurship. It's going to be a big unveiling of that because this is a joint project. It's not just the city; it's the school district. So we're hoping to be able to announce it there on Earth Day.
Okay. Well, you've shared some interesting stuff with us in the past. This is kind of the revealing of the plan. What are the elements in it?
Well, there's sort of three key categories that we look at, and there's a variety of chapters, but the common themes that go through it is, first of all, energy efficiency, renewable energy, trying to reduce the level of emissions from our use of energy, and at the same time, saving money. So that's one of the key elements.
Who can argue with any of that, you know?
Oh, you know, it's a great thing that we're not getting much argument.
Yeah.
Another thing we can talk about later in the show, if we got time, we can talk about the solar ease workshop we had up in Whitefish. And people came. I mean, it was a packed house. We had over 100 people there.
Really?
People are interested in this stuff. People are interested in saving money. But you're right. Nobody disagrees with clean energy. Yeah. And there's so much opportunity to do it. I mean, you just had some of your advertisers there talking about energy efficiency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say, all right, go, guys. That's great stuff.
Well, Denny Rehberg. Years ago, as when he was congressman, he used to come in and say, we're all environmentalists. Nobody wants to trash the environment. Nobody wants to trash what we have. It's just we have different ideas about how far we should go and what we should do.
That's right. That's right. And, I think that with this climate action plan, there is so much common ground. And we've, and we put out surveys. We've had open houses. So we've gotten a lot of feedback. So we've talked about the clean energy. One of the other major themes is just understanding and preparing for what climate change means for us. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about this last month, one of the real big priorities for the City of Whitefish and the surrounding area, and I think we're seeing it also at Flathead County, is understanding that wildfire seasons are getting longer, they're getting more severe, we're having more of this sort of hot, dry summers. And so one of the top headline messages from the Climate Action Plan is we need to do more to become a fire-adapted community. And so that's sort of preparing for what we're already seeing. And there's things that go with that, such as helping protect some of our elderly populations and even our kids in schools when we get a lot of that smoke, that wildfire smoke that seems to be getting worse. Not every year, but a lot of years, we're just getting more of that smoke. So we're looking at some innovative things like indoor HEPA air filters that can we can bring into homes of some folks that maybe can't afford it. We're looking at those type of strategies, and fortunately, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. A lot of other places have sort of dealt with some of these issues, and we're learning from them, and we talk about that in the plan.
A lot of folks say that the wildfire situation is because we're on a 100-year fire cycle, and And while that plays into the climate change too, it just doubles down on everything.
It does. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into the fire risk, mm-hmm. And whether it's forest management or we got a lot of homes now out in the wildland urban interface, all of that is compounded by just the undeniable fact that our fire seasons are lasting longer. They start earlier, they end later. We are getting drier summers, and that's the projection for the future. So all the more reason to focus in on what we can control.
Let's talk a bit about the specifics of the plan, and we'll do that right after this. We're talking about the Whitefish Climate Action Plan. We're going to dive into the weeds here in that now with one of the guys that kind of spearheaded the thing, Steve Thompson from Glacier.
Climate Smart Glacier.
There you go, Robin.
All right. So, Steve, let's dive into the weeds here. What are we really going to do with this plan in Whitefish?
Well, we've got, I'd say, five key chapters for city that the city's going to be dealing with, and then we have the school district, because the school district is part of this. So they have their own chapter, so it all comes together. So one of the major themes, so we've talked about sort of the energy and emissions, and then mm-hmm. preparation, they call adaptation. The other one is resilience. So that's the other word that we use a lot in the chapters. And that basically means that there's a lot, you know, what was the saying? You know, there's the known knowns, the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns, or something like that. There's certain things that, it's not specific to climate change, but I think we are going to be experiencing more disruptions. Look what Puerto Rico has gone through. There's going to be more disruptions, could be in food supplies, could be in transportation networks. And so one of the concepts of resilience is that You develop the local capacity in a variety of different ways to sort of ride through and even thrive in the face of disruptions that we don't have a lot of control over, nor can we predict very well. So, for example, in one of our chapters, it's consumption, food, and waste. We're looking at trying to really build a local food network, make it more stronger so we have more local food. That reduces the need to ship food, 1,500 miles from California or Mexico. Having our own local food supply that's increasingly secure, that's actually a good climate action strategy.
Okay.
For a variety of reasons. So that's an example of the sort of thing we're working on.
Can we kind of summarize all five chapters? Or would that take too long?
Well, I could tell you what the five chapters is.
Let's do that.
We'll start with that, and then we can dive in.
All right. Yep.
So we've got the one I just mentioned, the consumption, food, and waste, which sort of looks at how we consume things, how we use things, and mm-hmm. how we try to reduce waste. We got buildings and energy efficiency, renewable energy. One of the key things we're looking at, we're going to be building a new wastewater treatment plant in Whitefish, expanded capacity, also using more energy because it's a bigger plant with some new technologies. We're looking at trying to develop a solar farm there that'd be bigger than the one Flathead Electric Co-op has right now. So we're working with them on that. We've got a chapter on forest and watersheds, and that's getting into, see, our water up in Whitefish comes from surface water. The rest of the valley gets it from groundwater, from wells. We get it from Haskell Basin and from Whitefish Lake. We want to protect those watersheds. We're looking at issues that could be worse with the warmer climate, such as aquatic invasive species, wildfire risk. So how do we get on top of that? And the city's doing some good things already, but we have additional recommendations. Look at water and wastewater. Here's a fact for you that I don't think most people realize, that a couple years ago, 40% of the water that goes through the treatment plant, comes out of Haskell Basin or Whitefish Lake, goes through the treatment plant, goes out into the pipes, 40% of it doesn't even arrive in anybody's faucet. Wow. It gets lost underground. We've got a large amount of lost water because of, basically, it looks like old water mains. Well, we put a lot of energy and we put a lot of money into treating that water, and then it never gets delivered. So that's a real high priority, is really to try to track that down. The city started on that last summer, brought that number down a little bit. So we recommend that that be a real priority, is to find those leaks underground. And every community has that. But we've the problem has gotten worse in Whitefish in the last 10 years or so. So we're looking at that. The wastewater treatment plant is on a big, it's on about 80 acres. And the new technology, the new plant's going to be smaller footprint than the old one. So we're looking at using some of that space for a variety of things, looking at using it for the solar plant. And we want to do what Kalispell's doing in terms of collecting leaves and composting those leaves, and building some of the soil out there, and then using it as a tree nursery, so that we can grow our own trees for our urban forestry program. So we're looking at a comprehensive site assessment for those 88 acres or so, for that are all consistent with the goals of the Climate Action Plan.
Okay. So what chapter's next?
Let's see. What's our other chapter there? Transportation and land use.
Ah.
Transportation and land use. So the land use is a variety of things. You're trying to encourage urban development, and neighborhoods that are walkable, where, and we got a pretty good bike path system, but there's a lot of specific recommendations we have to make it a little safer for kids to get around town. Not necessarily, when I grew up, we walked miles and miles through deep snow both ways, isn't that the way it is?
Uphill,
that's right, into the wind both times.
I walked 2 blocks from 7th Avenue East to 5th Avenue East from my house to Hedges.
Yeah. When we've had programs in the past for bike to school day, kids love it.
Yeah,
and just trying to make it safer, and so for not just kids but for people, for all folks to get around.
Yeah, I rode my bike to school every day.
You did,
except when it was snowing. Yeah, and and I walked to Flathead High School from our place all the way over, and that was way across town.
I found your mention of resilience and developing local food systems really kind of interesting, because you would think that the cost of transportation wouldn't be as high to get it to the market, so there would be some real advantages to that too, in addition to reducing emissions and so forth, bringing the foods in. But we've gone kind of in the opposite direction nationally, with fruit from South America and, food from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think the tide's turning a little bit back in the other direction. Our local supermarkets, they make a big deal when they're selling, local produce. Farmers markets, they are so popular.
Yeah.
And people are growing their own food. That was true decades ago. People grew a lot of their own food. And then I think we sort of got used to just food comes from the supermarket, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's changing. I think people are, we had the Free the Seeds Day a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So many people show up. They come to learn, and there's great workshops, and there's all these vendors and displays are out there. Got the Home and Garden Show. People are interested in this sort of thing, whether it's buying local, supporting local farmers, or just growing their own. And then we want to encourage that.
Sure. I want to move on here because I want to make sure we at least touch on all five chapters. So what's the next one?
Oh, I think we got them all there, didn't we? Yeah, we got buildings and energy, consumption, food and waste, forest and watershed, waste and wastewater, transportation and land use. There we go.
And then
we have the school district.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Tell you what, Robin's going to ask you kind of to summarize all of this and talk a bit about what's next.
Our guest this morning, Climate Smart Glacier Country's Steve Thompson. We've been talking about the Whitefish Climate Action Plan, at least the five chapters of it. And is there anything in summary you'd like to touch on with that before we move on to the solar project?
You know, I think one good point to important point to mention here is that this is good business for communities to do this sort of thing. The Moody's is one of the big three bond rating agencies, and they came out a couple months ago and said climate disruptions are getting more extreme, and they're affecting the ability of communities to actually repay their debt. It affects their bond rating. And we're going to start looking at to what extent are communities understanding and preparing for what climate change means for them. And so that was, you know, I wasn't even aware of that until one of our city councilors brought that up and said they're looking at that because, you know, we like all communities, all local governments, they will float a bond from now and then. And that bond rating affects what the interest rates are. And so we're just lining up. We're in good shape in terms of thinking ahead and understanding what we need to get prepared for and how we can get ahead of the game rather than sort of be behind the curve and reacting to it after
instead
the fact.
Of being surprised, be prepared.
Exactly.
You
know? Exactly.
Well, now, what about the results of the SolarEase workshop that you had last week?
We had an amazing turnout. We were hoping, well, if we had 30 people that showed up that were going to come out on a school night and were interested in finding out about what it takes to put solar on. We were going to be happy if we had 30 people. We had standing room only. We had over 100 people packing the city hall, council chambers, and it was a great program. We had installers, four or five different installers. We had a guy who's a do-it-yourselfer that has figured out how to do solar system with backup batteries, and he's completely off the grid, so he was sharing his information. Flathead Electric Co-op was there, and they've adopted a new policy. A lot of people don't know this. It's a new policy just came out a couple months ago. They've increased the scale of solar that they will allow to hook into their grid to the highest level in the state, 50 kilowatts, which is a very big system.
Wow.
So Flat Electric Co-op is just great to work with. They got great policies. So people heard from them. And then we just heard about what the economics. We had a banker come up from Missoula Federal Credit Union because they're sort of leading this effort and looking at the financing. What's it take to finance solar? And there's great loan packages available, not just the Missoula Federal Credit Union, but they've come out with a full report looking at the financials. How's it pan out? The good news is it does make financial sense. Solar does work here in the Flathead. You know, one thing people don't realize is that every place on Earth gets the same amount of sun over the course of a year.
Yeah.
It's just that we get it more in the summer and less in the winter than the equator. There it's like 12 hours a day each, you know, every day. And you can, with Flat Electric Co-op, you build credits in the summer, and those credits never go away. So those end up going to pay for your bills in the winter.
Isn't that great? Now, I understand all over the country, if you have, whether it's solar or you live in another part of the country and you have a water wheel with a river or stream on your property, excess energy above what you need, it goes back to the utility.
Goes back into the grid. You know, they call it net metering because with at least the old-fashioned meters,
they run backwards.
It would go backwards.
Yeah.
And then when they come and read it, it's like, oh, well,
so,
not
you know,
very much.
You could not only save money, you could go into business for yourself.
That's right.
That's what a lot of that's what a lot of odometers used to do on cars, go backwards.
That's right.
When you backed them up.
Well, you know, prices have come down 70% since 2010.
Wow.
And this is a sweet time. This is a good time to get into solar. My wife and I we're planning on doing it this summer.
I love it.
So we're excited.
Wow. Steve Thompson, thank you so much, and congratulations on getting this done in Whitefish.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Robin.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, the service of Glacier Bank.